Are you ready to get into the Word? Okay, let's see what the Spirit of the Lord would say to Landmark today. I'm just going to call this today, because I couldn't call it anything else, the new has begun. I mean, it's all brand new now. Everything's behind us. It's a 2,000-year anniversary birthday today. Happy 2,000th birthday to the church. Now, my Parker is talking about, I'm 4 and a half now, and Ainsley, I'm 6 and a half, so they always add that half. 6 3/4. Well, okay, it's getting up there now, baby. They're moving up. 6 3/4. But can you imagine how old Jesus is, you guys? Look at all these kids around here. You guys, Jesus is 2,000 years old. 2,000 and a little plus. And the church, not this building, but the body of Christ, the Christians, we became Christians at Antioch. We were called Christians first there. We have a 2,000-year-old birthday today. And the Holy Spirit came to earth 2,000 years ago. We call it today. In Israel, they celebrate that feast today. This is the fourth feast, by the way. And did you know the next feast? Do you know what they do at the Feast of the Trumpets? They blow over 100 trumpets in Israel. They blow those trumpets, and they blow them, and they celebrate the Feast of Trumpets, celebrating the coming of the Lord. There's only one feast left. And so, I mean, on this earth, and it will be this feast, the Feast of Pentecost, and then Jesus returning to earth. So we believe everything's lining up. It's getting right there. So actually, in celebrating Pentecost, you're reaching toward the coming of the Lord. So I just want to say this before we get started. I believe that we are seeing the fruit of our prayers today. Don't you? We are in the house and COVID is passing. Some saying the numbers are up. Some saying it's down. I don't know what they're saying. All I know is God's being good to us. So I believe we'll just praise Him and let them talk about it. Just allow them to keep talking to themselves, and we're just going to praise the Lord. How about that? We'll just worship Him. I would say this. We have been kept, we've been protected, and we have been blessed. I was walking around asking you how you were, how your family was. Anyone in your house got it? No. We've been good, Pastor. So even though maybe someone was under the weather, you've been blessed. So I would say thank you, Jesus. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, turn over to Isaiah, or turn on your phone, or however you're going to read with me today, or you can read above. I want to welcome people from all over the United States that watch. We bless you. I love seeing you and hearing from you, being online, the personal text and emails. So good to see you with us today. So if you want to go with us, we're going to Isaiah 42:9. Most Christians are very familiar with this portion of Scripture. But this is, again, my celebration on this day, and some of the reasons we have made changes in the church. Here it is, Isaiah 42, verse 9. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Now, you know what the prophets are saying? I don't know. I didn't get to watch Friday night, but I'm going to watch tonight. Tonight's the webinar with Lance and Jeremiah Johnson and the prophets. But here's what they're saying. They are saying that we came through a literal Passover. No other generation in time has been through another Passover as we were, like a shut-in. Israel were shut in. The blood was over their doorpost. So as they were shut in, so were we. They were shut in for 40 days, and us more than that. And we plead the blood, and we prayed, and we fasted, and we believed God. And I believe the blood spared us. I know there were some that went another direction, but we're going to give God praise. Amen. Just like Debbie sung this morning. God's going to get our praise. Amen, somebody. God's going to get our praise. But God said, I'm going to do a new thing. So these prophets said this. Okay, we had a literal Passover. You know, this people came out of Egypt's bondage after 40 days. The death angel passed over. killed all the Egyptians' firstborn, and yet not one Jewish person died because the blood was over the doorpost. So they went right out. They went to Sinai. And when they went to Mount Sinai, the law was given. Moses went up the mountain. The people went over there. 3,000 people, though, died that day as they touched that smoking mountain. 3,000 people died, but the law was given. Isn't that amazing? 50 days exactly from the time they came out of bondage, they ate the lamb by the instruction of God to Moses, Moses to them. They ate the lamb, put the blood over the doorpost. Exactly 50 days after, they went onto the mountain and received the law. Now, after Jesus died and resurrected, exactly 50 days after that, by the way, he showed himself 40 days to many, many people, witnessed and saw him in person. Not in the spirit, but they saw his person. They saw his flesh. So exactly 40 days after he showed himself, 10 more days, he instructed his own people, the disciples, go up into the upper room and wait for the promise of the Father. And so they went up and waited. You know the story. They were in one mind and one accord. And the Holy Spirit came in there like a fire. He came in. The Bible said tongues of fire set upon them all. And he came in power and he came in fire. And John the Baptist said, there is one coming after me. I'm not even worthy to carry his sandals. And he said, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. With the Holy Ghost and fire. And isn't it something to think? I was fascinated when I heard the prophet saying this. That is it a thought? I mean, they're really prophesying this will be true and will happen. Just like we came through a literal shut-in, a literal Passover, just like the people of Israel. Never another generation has done that. That we will come into a literal Pentecost. Somebody ought to be clapping your hands or you didn't understand it. That we will come through a literal Pentecost where the Holy Ghost will revisit, come upon his church. Now we know that that is going to happen before Jesus returns. We know that. But literally, sometimes you think, well, we're just going to get a little buzz. No, it's not going to be a buzz. It's going to be equal to or maybe even more than the church was birthed in. Okay, so he said, I am doing a new thing. The former things have passed. Azusa Street has passed. The 90s revival passed. The Wales revival, everything is past, it's over. The way we did church last month, or in January, that's not how we're seated today. That's not how we receive communion. It's not the way we receive the offering. Everything has come to pass. Behold, all things are brand new. Let me read you one more, Isaiah 43:18. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, and you'll not know it. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That's all gone. Verse 21. This people have I formed for myself. What people? His people, the Jewish people. But you and I have been grafted in as the church. So he said, you, my people, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. He said, I know my people. They're going to praise me. They're going to lift up their eyes and they're going to look and they're going to praise me right in the middle of all this mess going on. America is lit up with fires today. People with hate and anger and strife and lawlessness and evilness. I mean, burning down stores. I wonder how they'd like it if somebody burnt down their house. Burning cities down. Policemen running out of their stations afraid. What? And they go in and ransack their stations? Unbelievable. But something happened this week. I want to show you a spiritual parallel. This morning I flipped the news on just to see what had happened last night. It said America's on fire. I thought, well, what a time to say that. That this is a good day to say America's on fire. See, it's all about people just not knowing Jesus. It's all about that. Now, the man that was murdered, that was horrible, and that man is going to prison, and he should go for the rest of his life. And the people that stood there and watched on and didn't do a thing, those were all evil, evil, evil people. And they're being dealt with, and they're already judged. But we don't have the right in us to just keep on judging and keep on judging and keep on tearing up. Okay, so you better pray for our policemen. By the way, you know our Justin Aparicio, who is a CHP, he was deployed off to Sacramento because they're burning. But see, I believe that all truths run parallel. So I go over to the kids' house yesterday so I could be with my little ones when the shuttle went up, SpaceX. Man, I wanted to see that go up. I wanted to count down with them. So we got over there. They laid the astronauts down in the seats. It was so fascinating. And man, all of a sudden, that rocket capsule started going up, and they started counting. And when they did, the smoke started boiling out. And when the smoke started boiling, all of a sudden, fire began to come out of that thing. And you knew it was the fire that thrust that thing up into the heavens. Now, I thought it was so fascinating. I don't have to say I don't know anything about this, because you know I don't. But this was easy to understand, Debbie. You said that rocket was traveling at 16,000 miles an hour. 16,000 miles an hour, and you know where it was going? It was going to meet the space station. I'm like, David, which planet is the space station on? He's like, oh, it's just traveling around, you know, it's going around the Earth. So the rocket is going to hook up with the space station, and the space, y'all ready for this? You women, you didn't know this, I know, unless you heard it. Excuse me, Brother Rick, I'll get back over here. The space station is traveling at 17,000 miles an hour. Okay, so you got something going 17,000 miles an hour, and this little man-made rocket off of Earth is going 16,000 miles an hour, and they've got to meet right on time. I mean, they can't split a hair's difference in hooking up. And I just saw a picture of it this morning, and there was a green light way out in the darkness, and it said, there's SpaceX. It hooked up. There it was, attached right on time. You know what I saw when that fire thrust that thing up? I thought, oh, God, look at that rocket. It's leaving this filthy Earth behind. Man, it just escaped this old virus that's floating over the land. It escaped the evil. It escaped all the fires going off. It escaped all the evil politics and all the mess and all the stuff. All the worry, all the strife. Man, those two men just got out of town. I mean, they just left it all. They're far above the earth. And they are just far above everything. And I thought, God, what a time to see that. They left it all today. They left it all yesterday, just before Pentecost. I thought, God, if that's not right on time. And to think how Jesus went away when he was resurrected. He was just thrust right into his heavenly home with his Father. And the Bible says he sits down at the right hand of God. It says we are in Christ, and Christ is in God. And so there we're seated. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and we are seated with him. And then when he got to heaven after he was resurrected, he sent the Holy Spirit back to earth. And when the Holy Spirit came in, he came in fire and power. Hallelujah! And when he came in fire, the disciples got some fire. And old Peter, that had such a temper, he would cut your ear off and not even think about it. And Jesus would have to go cleaning up after him. And then he was such a coward, little cowardly little guy, you know. He goes over there and warms his hands at the enemy's fire while Jesus is going in talking to Pilate. He was already, his beard had been plucked out, and they were just ransacking Jesus. Hadn't beat him yet, but they were going to. And here's Peter out there warming his hands at the enemy's fire. And the Bible said, they said, oh, he's one of them. He's a Galilean. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. And then he cursed out. No, I'm not. See, when you get in a tight place, it'll tell who you are. But when Peter got in that upper room and that fire fell on him, listen, that guy turned in a man of holy boldness, and he walked out and he wrote much of the New Testament, a mighty man of valor, and he went from this little weakling to a man of God with pure strength. And Jesus once called him Simon. His name was Simon. It just meant a weed, just a reed blowing in the wind. I think sometimes we in the body of Christ, we can get to be a weakling and we just kind of jump off and go with anyone. I haven't been on Facebook much, but and when you see what people are saying, every now and then you'll see somebody that just fits in with everybody. You'll see where they liked what they said, and I thought, what? I thought you liked what they said. And they said something totally different than what they said, so they just jump in with whoever's talking. See, that's a Peter just blowing with the wind. I don't want to blow with no wind. I mean, he became a powerhouse and preached the gospel, and in one sermon that came out of his mouth, 3,000 people were born into the kingdom. 3,000 with one sermon. Why? Because the Holy Ghost power was on that. I said, oh God, touch our sermons with some of that Holy Ghost power. God, if you do that, they can't resist hearing it. Now, when you're really hungry, you can go into a Catholic church and get something out of that sermon. But if you're anorexic in the spirit, nobody can feed you. Because you can't eat. If you're anorexic and you ate a baked potato, it would just clog you up and you would just die right there if you tried to eat a steak. You can't eat because you're anorexic in the spirit. But for people who are hungry, you'll get something out of something. My mama could make food out of nothing. And you could take nothing sometimes and put it in it. That's how Peter was. But Peter's word became bold and full of strength. And people began to walk through his shadow. All Peter had to do is just walk out. See, he was the first one to walk on the water. I thought, Jesus, I wonder if because Peter walked on the water and he said, if that's you, call me Jesus. Jesus said, come. He fell in, but he cried out to Jesus and he pulled him up. I wonder, could that be why Peter was the first one to have people walking through his shadow when he was healed? See, Russell, I know you're young at this, though you were raised in it, you're just coming back. But the thing is what we're talking about that's going to happen, and is happening now because this is a new era, it's a new time, it's still the church age, and the age of grace. But listen, the old has passed away. Nothing is the same anymore. I mean, God shut the whole world down, and he allowed it to be shut down on purpose because he said, I need my people's attention. They've been ignoring me, and they've been complacent. And I guess he said, if you want to be complacent, well, go home and just sit down and be complacent all you want. Just lay back in your easy chair and watch it on TV. I don't know, but all I know is when this moving of the Holy Spirit restores all things, as Jesus said it was, he said, I'm going to do a new thing. He said, and you don't even remember the former things of old. Did you know that there's a psalm that says, forget your father's house? That always kind of hurts my feelings. Forget your father's house. My God, I would be embarrassed if my mother and daddy, if I preached that, it would embarrass me because it would hurt them. Well, I'm not sure that he's so much talking about, you know, our upbringing is important. That there's certain things when you become a woman of God and a man of God that you just have to put back and say that was then and this is now. That's what they did. That's how they were. But that's not how I am. So he's saying you quit blaming mom and daddy's house. Okay, that's over. So let that go. So he came with great power and great glory and great fire. Now Ephesians, let me go back and tell you why I told you about SpaceX and that rocket going up. Because here's what came to me, Kathy, if you will give me Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. When he wrought in Christ, which he raised from the dead, listen to this, and he set him at his own right hand, talking about God sitting Jesus, by his own right hand in heavenly places, far, somebody say far above, far above, look at this, all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. Look at verse 23, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now I forgot to read verse 22. And he's put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the what? Now everything that you and I have, he said, I've made him the head over the church. That's who he is. And he said, my Father caused me to sit in heavenly places at his right hand, like the rocket, far above all principalities, all power, all this power that you're seeing on earth, or whatever you want to call it, and might, and dominion, that means control, everything that is named, not only in this world, but the ones to come. See, Jesus is seated with the Father far above all of this mess, all of this stuff, and Jesus is still head of the church. Okay, so how about you and me? You say, that's good. I'm glad Jesus is far above. But it should be nice if I was too. Well, let's look. You think he left us out? Oh, not on your life. Look at chapter 2, Ephesians 2 and verse 6. And has made, raised us up. Somebody say, raised us up. He raised us up together, the church. He got us all together. Now, we just came back into this building together today, but there is the body of Christ, and I love to think that we're all together today. Now, Africa may have come together, you know, this midnight there or in the morning there, Israel, you know, about 10 o'clock tonight there already, so they've already done this, but around America, thousands are together right now. So he raised us, the church, up together and raised us to sit together in heavenly places. Look at that, exactly what it said about Jesus. In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is, in ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and the kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So what I want to tell you today is that where are we seated? Where do you and I live? Far above principalities, powers. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, far above spiritual wickedness, principalities, and spiritual wickedness in high places. We're above all that. So when we pray, listen, could you just consider this when you pray? Instead of us praying from our prayer place or our secret place, where we're in the secret place, it's a good place to go. It's just you and him there. I love it. But after I learned this a few months ago, that we are seated far above principality, we're seated there with him. Well, we all known that for years, but we're seated far above all this. Then we need to be praying from there down instead of sitting in our chair and trying to lift up our crazy needs and our wants. And I mean, those are very, very important needs that we have. We're trying to just lift them up as heavy as we can. Our prayers are so heavy sometimes. And you just think he is not listening. And you're trying to just, you're just not big enough to carry it. Like, God, I'm wearing myself out. I do not know how to pray about this thing anymore. And I'll tell you right now, I'll bet some of you are listening today and some of you are sitting right here and you say, Pastor, I am prayed out. Have you ever been prayed out? Oh, you haven't? Well, I have. I've been so prayed out, I didn't know what else to do. And that's when I started praying in tongues. Because when the Holy Ghost came, not only did he give him power, he made them brand new people. He also gave them a heavenly language. And they began to speak in tongues. They spoke like God. And so now, if you will remember this, church, I'm telling you, it has so changed my prayer life. Now, instead of trying to struggle and get my prayers lifted up, you know what I do now? I imagine myself sitting there because the Bible says I am seated. He raised us up together to make us sit. He had to make us do that. And he made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we are seated there. So now we can pray down, Lynn. We can pray downward. Lord, I want you to send that like you did Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas were in the jail and they began to praise the Lord and they began to shout. And when they praised the Lord in the midnight hour, I believe they were praying from above and it came down. And the earthquake came and shook the building and opened the doors and they got out. We need some earthquakes, don't we? We need some things to open these doors, lift up the gates and let the Lord come in, the Lord of glory come in. Hallelujah. Lift them up, Lord. Now, when the Holy Ghost came, it was so immediate and it was so sudden. And the best example I can give you right now that we could all see is when this COVID virus came in. It came in gradually and they didn't know what to do with it. Well, it's not this, it's not that. And then all of a sudden they start closing down the world and you're like, my daughter called me one time and she says, Mom, you're not going to believe this. Denny's is closed and Black Bear's closed. I was just going down the street and Bath and Body's closed and they're closed. I'm like, what? Why? Well, they're making everybody close up. It was unbelievable. It was like that. When God says, I want your attention, he's going to get it. If he wanted to blast social media, it didn't matter what Zuckerberg or whatever his name said. It didn't matter what they said. He just blasted social media and said, I'll light it up with the gospel. How does God do that? By his spirit. And he did it so suddenly and so quickly. Now the Holy Ghost came much faster than that. It took them 2 or 3 months just give the rule and it pretty much happened, but a while to get there. But I want to tell you, this is how this that I'm talking today is going to come suddenly. Because the Feast of Trumpets is about to blast. See, we've been in this church age, and we have been in the age of grace, and we have been in this Pentecost. This is one reason the dove had to go. Some of you just gasp when you found out the dove was gone. Oh, how could she? Because the dove is not coming. He is here. He's not on a wall. He's got to be here. See, we can have that and be dead as can be out here. I heard him saying, I want everything brand new. I want you to get those 19th century and 20th century preachers off the wall. That's over. It's done. That was hundreds of years ago. They're over. I'm doing a new thing. And you know who he's going to use? We're the deal. It's us. The days of the big shot preacher is over. The ones that were drawing their thousands and millions, and thank God they do. But now he said, I'm just going to touch all of social media. I'll do as I please. I will shut down sports, and I'll shut down the movies, and I'll shut down Hollywood, and I'll just cause my church to rise up. And many of the church got angry and got mad and said, we're going to keep our church doors open. I thought, well, go ahead. You're only reaching 100 anyway. Now, why would you do that? Why'd you want to say that when you can go on Facebook and reach 500 or 1,000? The larger churches that were reaching thousands were reaching millions. I'm just telling you, God's plan is so much bigger than us, and we stand out here and cry the blues and do our little whining. It's not worth a hill of beans, church. Jesus is head of the church, and as long as he's the head, I'm just going to have to listen to this one say, I don't like that, and I don't like that, and I'm not coming if you do this, and I'm coming if you do that, and I'm not going to do this, and that's stupid. There's only one of me and a whole bunch of you. And that goes for all churches. What do we do? If I please you, they're not going to be happy. If I please them, you're not going to be happy. Nobody's going to be happy. Remember the song, Don't Worry, Be Happy? Crazy song, but it makes a lot of sense right now. I'm like, come on. Jesus said, I am the head of the church. I am the head. And the church age was suddenly born. And now he's going to come back and restore his church. The years that the cankerworm ate, the years that the locusts have eaten. I've been preaching that for years. But I'm like, God, this is the day. This is the hour. It's really going to happen. It's the age where, see, those people, let me know where my time is. It's the time, the people that lived before Jesus, those Jewish people, listen, they had no idea about what you and I have right now, about Jesus living in their heart. They couldn't imagine that. They could not imagine a Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, my life is hidden with Christ in God by the Holy Spirit. They could not imagine that. It was over. They didn't get it. They couldn't understand it. They didn't understand salvation. They didn't understand. They didn't have eternal life. They didn't get it. They couldn't understand eternal life. They couldn't understand being baptized in the Holy Spirit. They didn't know about any of it except the law. When 3,000 died, when the law was given, 3,000 people were born into the church. On one day, 3,000 were born when the Holy Ghost came to earth. Hallelujah, amen. 3,000 born into great from weakness to power. The heavenly language was added. We can pray in the Spirit. He prays for our weaknesses. The disciples went from fishing for fish to fishing for people. You know what Pentecost is all about? It's all about the harvest. So can I tell you, you guys better be very careful. We need to pay attention to who God puts in our path. Really listen. As they say today, put your ears on and listen and hear what people say to you, because it may be their spirit crying out. It may be their spirit crying out to you, and you're gonna lead them into the kingdom. You say, I don't know how to do that. Yes, you do. You just say, can I pray for you? Listen, Jesus changed my life. He'll change yours. It's not as hard as you think. Oh, they always used to talk to us about the Roman road. You don't have to have all the scriptures memorized. You just share what you know about Jesus. And this day, the old wineskins were made new. But all of these things will be restored. I want to read you one scripture before we close. Listen, it's in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. Please look at this. You may have missed some other things, but you cannot miss this. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. Look. Look among the nations and watch. Now, I think this may be NIV, but the old King James says, behold, look and see. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded. Here it goes. For I will work a work in your days which you would not believe though it were told you. When he says you, he's talking about the body of Christ. Yeah, you too. See, because we are individual people. Come back over here, y'all. He's just going in there. I need you here. I don't want you to miss this. See how distracted we can get? He said, you, look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days. In your days, which you would not believe, even if I told you. So this is why I need to tell you today, pay attention, be really careful who you meet, and listen to what they say, because God is making the harvest real ripe right now. It's like the oranges that hang on a tree. Brother Phil says you've got to get them off the tree, or they'll fall down, and they're all decayed and destroyed. Okay, so pay attention. We've got to get them off the tree while they're ready to go. So we just had some things to get ready for this time. It's a new era, and we are a blessed people to live in this time of history. So what's happening in the church today is to get us ready for the coming of the Lord, amen? To get us ready for this mighty harvest. So remember what he said, even if I told you how I was going to use you in this last day, you wouldn't even believe it. Cody, you've been through a lot of stuff, son. I'm so happy to see you sitting here today. But do you know how many men need to know what you know? Where you've been, wrestle, same with you. All of us, all of us, all of us. Mother Garcia, if you had the floor, you could tell us how all those bones were broken in your body and how God restored you. We've all got a story to tell, and there's nothing more powerful than personal testimony. Would you stand on your feet with me, please?